Our scripture reading this morning, again, comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and I'll be reading from the fifth chapter, verses 15 through 20. So let us listen for God's word of peace, of love, of reconciliation. Paul writes, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." May God bless our hearing of this scripture and receiving. Were there any words that stood out for you in this scripture? Lily.
Always, always, always.
Always.
Giving thanks to God the Father for everything.
Always, always, always. Giving thanks to the Father for all things. Yes, yes. Violet. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what we're talking about today. Yeah. Liam.
Make the most of the time.
Make the most of the time. Of the time, this time. For the days are evil. Joanne. Singing and making melodies to the Lord. Yes, that should be an always, always, always as well. That's what we do on Sunday mornings, and we ought to do that all the time. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, a guy joins a monastery and takes a vow of silence. He's allowed to say two words every 7 years. After the first 7 years, the elders bring him in and ask for his two words. "Cold floors," he says. They nod and send him away. 7 more years pass. They bring him back in and ask for his two words. He clears his throat and says, "Bad food." They nod and send him away. 7 more years pass. They bring him in for his two words. "I quit," he says. "That's not surprising," the elders say. "You've done nothing but complain since you got here." Now, isn't that the way of our world? We complain, and we complain, and we complain about everything. As children, we complain about our parents. As parents, we complain about our children. We complain about the government. We complain about the neighbors. We complain about our spouses, wives or husbands. We complain about the weather, when it's too hot and when it's too cold, or too rainy, or too dry. Adam and Eve complained about not getting to eat the forbidden fruit. And that was just the beginning. Why do we complain so much? Just look around you in any given moment and see what God has created and what God has given us. Why do we complain? In the book of Genesis, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. God created light, night and day, land and water and sky, vegetation, stars in the night, moon and sun, living creatures. And God proclaimed that it all was good. No complaints there. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." What God created was good. It was real good. In fact, it was amazing. Just look around us. And then God put us humans in charge to be good stewards, to enjoy all of creation, and to protect it. And yet, we complain. We were created in the image of God with the ability to reason, to create, to be in relationship, to love and be loved. Before today's scripture, the Apostle Paul had already reminded the people of Ephesus that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, the Greek word for workmanship refers to a work of art, a masterpiece. Now, a few years ago, disciple preacher Cynthia Hale reminded us at a general assembly that we are a piece of work. She did admit that a piece of work is not always a flattering title. Quite often it means difficult to deal with, a handful, that it takes work to be with you. Anyone here a piece of work like me? How many of you consider yourself a piece of work in a positive way? A masterpiece. We should all raise our hands for that. But the psalmist said of humanity that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, we are a masterpiece. We are a piece of work. And yet we complain. I guess we are a piece of work, either way. How long will we complain? How long before we learn to look around us and at ourselves and appreciate what God has given us? How long before we praise God moment by moment, day by day, for the amazing work God has already done? Sing some of those praise songs night and day. For God has done all this. Won't God continue to create wonderful things in this world and in our own lives? And yet, we complain. How long? Is that wise living? Paul says in our scripture, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, the Greek word for making the most is a word from the marketplace. It meant to buy up, rescue, or ransom something considered valuable, to redeem it, to reclaim its value. And the Greek word for time used in this scripture is kairos, meaning meaningful time or opportune moments or God's time. So Paul tells us that wise living means redeeming or making the most of God's time, this time that God has given us. Now, ask someone who knows they're coming to the end of their life on earth about God's time. When you don't have much left, you sure try to use every bit of it for good. You make the most of it. Now, there's a sense in Paul's letter that there are two distinct qualities of time: redeemed time, or God's time, and evil time, or perhaps neglected time. Looking around our world today, it's not hard to see evil time or wasted time. When we look at the world and only see scarcity, fear, and anxiety, when we are tempted to turn inside ourselves as individuals or communities or even churches, when we turn to protect what we have, to keep away the unknown, to hold on to that world or church that we know or have known, choosing to focus or neglect the time that we're given. Yes, in this time that we live, our own community is filled with many broken people. People live daily without hope. The economy, politics often rob people of their jobs, their homes, their dignity. Around our world, 4.5 billion people live without health care and cannot afford to get sick, much less go to a doctor. We live in a fragmented world. But there's another way of looking at the world. There's another way of looking at time. With the resurrection of Jesus, Paul says, humanity entered a new reality, one where death is not the end of life. Death has no power over us in this life. Death is not the end of time. Through Jesus, we have been given kairos, a meaningful time, an opportune moment, a time with no end, God's time, while we live on this earth. And we're called to make the most of it, to redeem the time we are given for God's purposes. So we have a choice of which time we see, which time we look at, which time we will live in. Kairos time, or the evil time, as Paul calls it. A time, to me, suggests movement. A movement in time, you've heard that. And that's what excites me about being part of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. I'm supposed to talk about that right after church today. Our denomination has an identity statement that says, we are a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. As part of the body of Christ, we welcome all to the Lord's table as God has welcomed us. We disciples are a movement within this kairos time, a movement not of scarcity, fear, or anxiety, but a movement for wholeness in this fragmented world, in this evil or neglected time. And we disciples are making the most of this time that we are given, the present, being wise, being filled with God's Spirit, and finding our joy in that Spirit, singing, as Violet lifted up, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in our hearts. Now, that's not just in worship. That's throughout our days. Giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Words for the Ephesians from Paul, words for us today. This is a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world that shares God's radical hospitality in our neighborhood and beyond, that welcomes all to the Lord's table as God has welcomed us. We are a movement that ought to be done complaining. We're recognizing just how blessed we are living in God's good creation. We are a piece of work. We are God's workmanship. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. What do we have to complain about? We live in a Kairos time, in God's time, God's gift. What do we have to complain about? Let's make the most of this time. So our take-home question is, how can we as individuals and as a church make the most of God's time this fall through the rest of this year? Any bridges that we can build? Let us pray. Creator God, you are the creator of all that is good. You have given us so much in your creation, in the universe, in the relationships we share together, in your church, here at First Christian Church, in the disciples of Christ. Lord, you've given us relationships to nurture, to enjoy, to build, and to share with your children near and far. We thank you for the invitation we get to come together as your church, to come around one table where all are welcome and all are equal as we give thanks for your many blessings. No complaints. So, Lord, open our hearts and our minds again to receive your blessings and give thanks in gratitude and to be good stewards, to share those blessings with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.